I'm Richard Porter.
I'm Johnny Smith.
And this is Smith and Sniff, a podcast in which two friends talk about cars, although this week not a lot about cars, quite honestly. Should we start this one like an American podcast with 7 minutes of unenthusiastic reading about commercial products or services?
Did you say unenthusiastic or enthusiastic?
Well, actually, no, it's not, is it? We would do it unenthusiastically because we're British and therefore embarrassed by anything involving money.
That's right. So,
yeah, do you have sweaty balls? Get nut dust, the only dust that keeps your balls from getting sweaty. I've used this now for myself for several weeks, and let me tell you, my balls have never been drier.
It's funny. Yeah, it's really funny you should say that, because I watched an episode of Hoovy's Garage on YouTube the other day, and he did, I'd say it was no less than 2 minutes as part of the intro, where he was saying he was sponsored by Manscaped.
Yes.
And
yeah,
he was just talking. He was really quite intensely describing the process and how good this thing is. And I thought, look, I run a YouTube channel. It's a business. I get it. Sponsorship's important. But I thought, where's the relevance? Is this...
I know.
I only like to be sponsored by actual relevant vehicle related companies and brands, but maybe I'm missing the
those
trick.
Those manscaping people seem to have got a pretty blanket.
They're aggressively manscaping, that's what they're doing.
They really are. They really are aggressively taking it back to
a bit like when I had my vasectomy and I got aggressively manscaped.
Did you?
Yeah, I turned up and there was, I don't know, an inch thick amount of paperwork I apparently should have read through, which I'm pretty sure I said this to my missus. I'm pretty sure I did read it. I've told you this story, haven't I, Rich?
I don't think so.
Anyway, I had to take, I was wearing a smock, as you do. I've had to change into my smock. And I went into this cubicle and the nurse was chatting through and just filling a few forms out. And then the surgeon, she said, oh, meet the surgeon. The surgeon came in. She was a woman. And just went, okay, let's just have a quick look. And she just lifted up my my smock, took one look at my meat and two veg, and she honestly she just went, oh goodness, what am I gonna do? and honestly she huffed, looked at me, then looked at the nurse and just went, did you not read the paperwork? I said, yeah, I did. She said, you can't leave it like that. Got to shave it all
leave
off.
Leave it like that.
Yeah, honestly, just talking about like an animal that you've brought to the vet. And I just went, well, what? And she just looked at the nurse. She went, you're going to have to just get rid of it all. Do it now. Do it quickly. And then just walked off in a real huff, like you just had a proper like relationship argument. And this was the start of my procedure. It wasn't great.
Well, and then you know that she's a bit pissed off with you and she's about to take a knife to your ball bag.
Absolutely. And then I got aggressively sheared like an unloved sheep and then wheeled into the surgeon's theatre. And then I observed that of the 8 people in there, I was the only man.
Oh.
And I felt quite, what's the word? Vulnerable. Very vulnerable.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was that. I didn't expect to talk about that on the podcast today, if I'm honest.
I think we're being surprised where the conversation goes these days, aren't we?
But that's the joy
when
of Smith
and
Sniff,
my,
is it not?
My clackers snipped. I wasn't. I think the literature specifically said there's no need to shave.
Well, that's what I protested, because I did read all of the checklist of things to do before you go in and you get, you know, your egg bag hacked. And I just thought, well, of course, if I need to do it, I'll do it. You know, I'll stretch that bad boy over the end of a ironing board and I'll wet shave it if that's what they want me to do after a very, very hot bath.
Hang on. Wouldn't you want it to be like dip them in an ice bath so that it all goes sort of quite taut? It would be easier to shave. It'd be like shaving a rugby ball rather than
I would go the other way and then so it's all nice and slack and then I could wrap
God,
it.
God, it'd be like trying to shave a duvet.
Yeah, it'd be like shaving a... Around. It's a bit like trying to stretch a swimming cap before putting it on your head.
Yeah, but you want it to be taut, don't you?
You just use it.
There's wrinkling and it'll snag.
Just wrap it around a mobile phone or a...
Or a desk lamp.
It's been
off for a while.
It's all possible. It's all possible. It depends on the temperature. It's all about the ambient
high stress situation, having to try and
it was
shave your plum sack whilst you're under the pressure of knowing you've got to get in there and there's a slightly angry woman waiting for you?
No, she didn't trust me to do it. The nurse did it.
Oh.
So I had it done for me.
Oh, my God.
But using bare-ended clippers. Very, very large-looking clippers, the sort that you do an Alsatian with when it's getting ready for summer. And it was really, I mean, I was a little bit scared. Worse than that, just before I'd gone in the room to take my clothes off and put this NHS smock on, a man, an old guy shuffled in who was about to have another sort of operation and just did a bit of small talk. Morning, you all right? Yeah, yeah, yeah. You okay? Yeah, not bad. Going to be much better after this, yeah. What are you in for? He asked me, and I didn't ask him. I thought you're not supposed to ask. What are you having? I said, I'm having a vasectomy. And he went, he looked at me, he just froze, and he went, are you sure you want to do that? And I went, well, yeah, I am sure, yeah.
I am the ghost of bollocks past.
Honestly, it
here
was like...
to warn you.
There were so many, like, pointers to just please, just preserve your pebbles. Don't let them get chopped about. That bloke, then the surgeon having a go at me because I had my pubic forest was not appropriate for use. Is it not fit for purpose or whatever you want to call it? It's just it's just not right. It's not right.
Golly, well, I had none of those problems. My scrotal fuzz passed the inspection, and
did it?
A massive Ghanaian chap did mine, and afterwards he was just idly making small talk and telling me how he's got this mate back home in Ghana who has fathered about 20 children with different women.
Oh,
and he
my
was going,
gosh.
I just keep saying to him, I will do you for free because you, but then he was like, it got really serious and he went, because I know that some of his children from different women now live in Paris. What if two of them get together and don't realise they're actually siblings? So it's irresponsible. And I was like, oh shit,
God,
no, I really thought about that.
That's quite a depth of conversation.
It was good though. I was gonna say it's quite jolly. It was, you know, it's all very chatty. And then I went and sat outside and had a biscuit.
Did you have a nurse say, if you feel the need to, you can grip my hand as hard as possible? Did you have that?
No.
Oh, I did. No. I did.
But a mate of mine had said to me, the best thing to take your mind off it is to make chit-chat with the nurse, and so I did, and she didn't really seem to be in the mood for talking, so I had to force the conversation a little bit, but it was that, or remember that there's a large Ghanaian man taking a knife to my...
spuds.
to my clacker hammock. And so, yeah, no, it's all good. In fact, I left, and my wife went, do you feel lightheaded? And I went, no, I think I'm okay. And she went, right, let's go for lunch then. And we went for lunch. We had a couple of glasses of wine with lunch, and I felt fine.
Seriously? That's hard.
Yeah, but then I went home, and I went, right, I've got to lie on the sofa all afternoon now and just watch this documentary about New Order that I've recorded off Sky Arts. And my wife was like, well, you don't seem to be that invalided out. And I was like, no, really, I am. I better just lie here for the rest of the afternoon.
Is that what it was? I remember getting picked up outside the hospital by... my wife with the kids who were very young, and I remember noticing that the Nissan Cube was sort of misfiring, and then when I got home, I realised the head gasket was starting to go. So that's that was another signal of a wonderful day. Yeah, 300. Although I just want to make this completely clear on the podcast, I'm very. Very pleased that I did have my pods modified, stage 3 tuned. Actually, I mean, that's the way I'm going to call it. But and talking
cat back.
Exactly, I had the cat back system fitted. So yeah, straight through. Not straight through. Pipes restricted. But anyway, yeah, it was in a 4-into-1 manifold or something like that.
Anyway, look, all of this talk of having your gooseberries fondled has reminded me of something I want to talk to you about, which is how often do you replace the wiper blades on your car?
Oh, not very often.
No.
Once every 4 or 5 years, I bet. Unless they're frost damaged, in which case...
Well, yeah, I swear to God, I put new wiper blades on my 911 last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it sort of sat for a long time because of COVID and everything. But I was out the other day when it was absolutely slashing it down, and the blades are juddery as fuck, and they obviously need replacing. And I was a bit like, I just did this. And then I was out in my Defender, and it was raining, because it's been raining a lot recently, mm-hmm. and they were judging. So I was like, hang on a minute, I did these last year. I'm sure I did, because they're funny little ones, you know.
Did you buy, like, El Cheapo plastic ones?
No, they're fucking Bosch ones. They're
okay. All right.
Proper.
Just asking. What yeah. about...
sorry, I didn't mean to be wiper blade defensive there.
Maybe they get lots of UV light.
It might be that, yeah. Cars aren't garaged, it's true. Mm. And, yeah, not used. I don't know, maybe. I was going to just...
Maybe they don't move screens. Enough. Maybe they're not used yeah. enough. They suffer from lack of use rather than use. Yeah.
I don't know. And I was like, I don't remember in the past replacing my wiper blades every year. I mean, you just do it when they need it, don't you?
Well, one of my cars, I took the out the Dodge, I took the windscreen wiper motor and all the arms and all the mechanism out 2 years ago, and I haven't put them back in yet. So I just use Rain-X. It's absolutely fine. Yeah. Above about 40, it's just flawless. It's brilliant.
I realise I've got some Rain-X in the shed because...
I'm very particular about a beading on a screen. I'm very particular about it.
You love beading generally, though, don't you?
I do like beading, but I understand that some people don't like cleaning cars, and that's absolutely fine. But I think the vision element of just having a really effortlessly clear screen at all times is pretty good, especially on an old car where there's bigger fish to fry with stuff like cogs falling off it and steam coming out of it. I tend to just prioritise.
Yeah, just try and take the stress out of the minor issues so you can focus on the major ones.
Exactly.
I know you're quite a car cleaner and I am not, but you know, a couple of weeks ago on the podcast, I was talking about doing a sort of job lot on my cars, basically unfurling the big hose.
Yes.
And
that just sounds
getting
wrong.
The jet washer out and just doing the lot. Well, I did it and it was quite satisfying.
How many days were you out for?
It was just one afternoon. I just production lined it, basically.
Yeah.
And did a bit of interior vacuuming as well. So, you know, but do you, when you've washed a car, maybe it's just me because I don't do it a lot, and I was really pleased with the way that the 911 came up because it's black, so it looks good when it's clean.
It's a very satisfying colour hue to cleanse, I think.
It was parked across the street because I'd moved it after I'd washed it to make room for the next car, and I was in the upstairs front window and I couldn't stop just taking a peek at it across the street and going, that's a clean car. Do you do that, or am I strange?
No, I've done that a lot, because my wife's cars have nearly always been black. So when we used to have the Chrysler 300, which was an absolute slab of a car to keep clean and straight, especially as it's a family car, it would be a full day for me. I would just book out a day, and that would be it to do a proper job on that. But I'd stand back and I would absolutely... admire it, and I'm not afraid to admit that. I think it used to come up spectacularly well, that black metallic, and now the Jimny's the same, but the Jimny's got like a few more corrugations in it, and to be honest, the paint finish on the Jimny's not great because it's not a very expensive car, so
okay.
you don't get that real sheen in the same way.
The paint on the Porsche is lovely, or it was. I think that car just I need to get it to the paint shop. Because you know some bits of paint came off the front wings because it got bird shit on it.
Yeah.
Which was really annoying.
That is bad.
And the bloke at my local garage, he is ex-Porsche and a connoisseur of these things, was like, this is a lovely car. Shame about your paint. And I went, yeah, I know, it's annoying. His bird shit took it off. And he went, nah, that's a bad respray, that. And I was like, are you sure? And he went, yeah, it shouldn't come off with bird shit. That's bad prep. Someone's done bad prep. And he kept saying it.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, whatever. But then, you know, I said the original owner or second owner of my car got in touch with me, and I asked him, I said, do you have the front resprayed? And he was like, no, didn't. So I don't know. The truth lies somewhere in between. But then I was looking at it, and there's like, some fucker scuffed the back bumper, which I think will probably come out with a bit of, T-cut or similar. But then you can just see little sort of scuffs and scrapes and things around it, and I was just like, oh, this needs
it depends
needs sorting out, because the paint where it's good is really lovely and comes up really deep and lustrous.
I have to say the finish on Porsches is normally good. It reminded me of I stumbled across it on Instagram a few weeks ago. of a guy, and I'm trying to work out which country he's in. I think it's Portugal or somewhere like that, where he found a 993-911 in a river.
Oh, yes.
Where it had been crashed for four years, and paid to have it extracted, and is doing this unbelievable rebuild on it. Like, I mean, it's so bent and ruined, but the paint... considering it's been under the water really for four years, and I get it. It's actually not that bad. It's at that amazing yellow colour, which I can't remember the name of. What is it? Citroen? I can't remember.
Citroen.
It's a real yes.
CX Palace.
Citroen. Yeah, Citroen C15 yellow. Well known colour.
No, because you know when the C15 went on sale in Britain, it was only available in white or red, and in the brochure that was listed as Van Blanc or Van Rouge.
Seriously?
Budum.
Did they come up with the gag first and then go, we've got to go with it? We could offer
French,
it in blue.
The French head office is going, would you like the blue, the green? No. The joke won't work if you do that. Yeah. But we find the customers. No!
No.
The joke will not work. I don't know. I'd like to think that was the case.
I really want a C15 for no good. And maybe the one-person motorhome version, the Roma home.
We've been down this one before,
I know,
haven't we? And
I know.
They're surprisingly expensive.
They are surprisingly expensive. Also, unsurprisingly lonely. I do quite like them. I do.
Well... One day.
The other week I filmed with a... In fact, by the time people listen to this, it might have come out, but I had the privilege of filming with a guy that has a pair of what you class as the ultimate Sierra Cosworths. He's got a well-decorated Group A touring car, and also a flawless, unrestored RS500 road car. And I had to get insurance to drive the RS500 road car to film with it. And when I got in it, I opened the door and got in it. I sat in it and it had a very distinctive smell because it's that sort of 80s velour Recaro interior.
Yes. Oh.
And that plastic.
Was it a
gray,
hot day?
It was relatively warm, yeah. And it had the grey, of course, the grey dash.
On hot days, there's a distinctive smell.
Yeah, and what's weird is I remember getting into Fords of that era, and it transported me back. But I felt like there was something, an ingredient missing, and I came away going, what is it? I had a real strange déjà vu, but it was missing the smell of cigarette smoke, and possibly a lemon magic tree. You know, it's this sort of heady mix of really stale cigs.
Yeah, and they're fighting each other. It's two smells actively engaged in combat.
On combat, it is the, and it's the headliner is the Somme or whatever. It's...
I don't know. I would say there's a pretty strong impression of Passchendaele going on in the velour upholstery itself, because velour soaks up a lot of smell, I think.
And I don't know why, but of course, I mean, it was much more common to smoke in cars 30, 40 years ago anyway, but I just expected it to have that really strange, sweet-sour combination of kind of Lambert and Butler baked in with some sort of faux lemony, fresh scent. But it was a very, very cool. It was very interesting to experience, I have to say.
I saw someone the other day smoking in a car with all the windows up.
Yeah,
so
did I.
What are you doing?
Yeah, I know. They're just mad.
And this was quite a new car. This was a Toyota CHR. And I just went, what?
I saw it in Evoque, less than a year
really?
Old. And the young Christ. Woman that was driving it, had a cig on the go with the windows up. And you're like, that is just absolute ruination. Not just of lungs, but of headliner and upholstery. And that's assuming you're not going to accidentally tap the hot end onto the carpet or the...
Well, there's that. I mean, it's like, so what are you doing in there? Are you using the ashtray?
Nobody
uses... Do modern
cars
even have ashtrays?
No, well,
they don't really, do they?
No, I don't think they do, because they've been phased out for USBs. USB to charge up anything, including a vape pack, which is obviously the modern smoking method.
Yeah. Even 20 years ago... you used to have to spec the smoker's pack in a lot of cars, yeah. didn't you? And basically, it was a tray, and if you asked, they would put in a sort of hot ash resistant liner.
Exactly.
And a lighter.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a long time since cars just came with an ashtray because.
I know.
So. What are you doing with the windows up? And it was like, it wasn't even, the woman I saw in the CHI, it wasn't even a cold day. It was, and it wasn't raining. It was just like she was hotboxing herself for no apparent reason.
Well, that's the thing. You're going to get out of there. You're going to smell appalling, aren't you? That's not, I mean, your hair's just going to be, it's going to smell like kindling wood or the remnants of a bad house fire 3 days later.
Yeah.
It's going to be awful. Or, you know,
you've been standing next to a forest fire.
No.
I won't ask you how the Cossais were, because people will have to watch your video to find out. This is a very boring question, but
yeah.
How do you go about insuring yourself on someone's quite valuable Cossais?
I've got a good relationship with Adrian Flux Insurance. And I give them the VIN on the car, in the case of this car, because it's has an agreed value on it because it's of its rarity and condition. You've got to declare all of that and then, yeah, go through the motions of getting a 12-hour or 24-hour cover. But, yeah, it's done, like, I forget, like 35,000 miles from new, this thing. It was black, flawless. Oh. As flawless as an 80s Ford is going to get.
I don't know. I was just curious. I imagine some people might be curious as how you get insurance. Yeah. So that you don't sort of go on compare the market and go, yeah, and no, I just need it for a day. Just want to insure it for a day.
An RS500. Yeah.
Yeah, it's an RS500. Yeah, I'm not seeing it in your drop downs. I couldn't see it on any of that. No.
Yeah.
No, it's a Ford.
Yeah. Is it an ST200 Mondeo? No. Okay.
For the sake of this, shall we say it is? But just an old one.
Yeah. But what, like 17 times the value? Yes, kind of. Yeah, that's the thing, because it's a 100 grand car. It's a 100,000 quid car.
Everything's gone. I was talking about this with a mate the other day about how the car market in general, sort of interesting stuff, is particularly hot at the moment. And
nostalgia,
we were talking
is scorching.
About. Yeah, but I think it's also just sort of generally like the kind of people buying themselves treats. Because
if you've
kept your job during COVID and everything's been okay, you maybe haven't been spending as much as you might just on travel and stuff.
Yeah, that's true. Eating. Yeah, and pret-a-manger.
Bit of money, feeling a bit gloomy about the whole thing. Cheer yourself up. If you've got enough quid squirreled away, go and buy yourself a little treat car.
Yeah.
And this was borne out by, because this mate I was talking to sort of idly thinking that he might buy himself an old 911, not old, but sort of like my kind of era.
Yeah.
So 10, 12-year-old 911. And so I was just idly went to all the usual sort of trusted Porsche specialists online that sell that sort of era of car. And most of them seem to have very low stock at the moment.
Mm.
And it feels like it's just everything must go. And there was a chap, there's a car designer called Joe, on Twitter, I saw, he's not someone I know, but he's followed by a lot of people I know, was selling his 911, which is exactly like mine. Like, it's black, same wheels, same colour interior, but it's a manual. So it's a Carrera 2S.
Nice.
And, yeah, it looked lovely. And, well, it looked like my car, but manual. And but it looked in really good nick. Like, sort of really just honest, used, but not scruffy car. And I actually said to my mate, oh, I think I saw one that a guy is selling on Twitter. And when I went back to check, it's already gone. And
bloody
he said
hell.
He'd been inundated with calls.
Talking of things being really quick to sell, I sold my Walzer. My Walzer's gone.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, it's gone. Yeah, it's gone up to Scotland. It's going to be in a bar in Scotland.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, at least it'll get some
use, and the owners are very enthusiastic about it, and they've said feel free to come up, have a drink sitting in your old Walzer. So maybe it's something.
Where in Scotland?
Outskirts of Edinburgh, I think. I will I'll get the address, but we can always go. We can always swing by there.
As long as it's not Orkney or something that's a little bit harder to get.
Quite happily go to Orkney for right now. I quite like that.
You ever been to Orkney?
No, never. No, that's where I'd like to go. I'd like to go to any of those.
Do they get a bit midgy?
I don't care about midges. I just put a magic tree around my neck. like a necklace.
A foot orange from each ear.
Yeah. And just a cluster of magic trees, or the ones that aren't allowed to be called magic trees because they're knockoffs, but they're called something like Amazing Oak or something. I can't remember their name. But clearly, they're a coloured tree that hangs from a
Wonder Pine.
Yeah, it's one of
Fresh Never Cars.
That's right. It's one of those bad boys. Yeah.
Did you spot two weeks ago maybe,
mm-hmm.
there was a sort of very small news story on some of the sort of car news outlets that the Alfa Giulietta was finally going off sale? And I went, what? Since when was it still on sale?
The Giulietta?
Because it was deleted in the UK, I don't know, at least a couple of years ago, probably more. Turns out, if you're in Italy or France or somewhere, you can still buy one.
You can't still buy those Lancias which look a bit like Norman Lamont, can you? have they been building those without us knowing as well?
What, the Lancia Lamont?
Yeah.
Yeah, they still buy. You mean the Epsilon?
Yeah. Yeah. That's...
Oh, they still make and sell those, but only in Italy. It's like Italy's second best-selling car.
Seriously?
Yeah.
They must be cheap. I mean, don't get me wrong, they're not total crap, but...
Well, it's a Fiat 500 underneath, isn't it? But just with more Alcantara. But
yeah.
I don't... There was, for a long time, even after the Giulia came out, Lancia still sold more cars than Alfa Romeo. And Lancia only sold one model in one market, and Alfa was, you know, trying to
Everywhere.
Break back into the US and all sorts, and it was obviously...
That's embarrassing.
Shit-y.
That's really,
it is,
that's
yeah.
quite embarrassing.
It's a mark of two things. One, Alfa not going well. I think it's better now. They've got the Stelvio and blah, blah, blah. But, and two, that lots of Italians still buy Lancia Epsilons because
Is it because cheap or...?
I don't think it is that cheap.
Really?
I think it's the same. Well, I don't... I mean, it's sort of...
Maybe they're just bored of the 500.
Yeah.
Maybe they just I don't really... I've seen too many. All my
I mean, the last I checked... Which was only quite recently. They'd even updated the Epsilon so that it had got the new, you know, the 500 had gone a little bit hybridy, not very hybridy, but
yeah, and minorly hybridy,
and the Epsilon was built in the same factory. So I guess when they update the 500, it behooves them to update the Epsilon because it's economies of scale in it. All right, so
you know,
Lancia Epsilon,
yeah,
as far as I can work out. Don't speak Italian, but from the Italian website, the entry level is called the Epsilon Silver, and it is €15,300.
Okay,
so it's not much cheapness. It's not
no. You know. So why the popularity?
I don't know. I suppose it's sort of a little bit posh. Maybe it's an old person's car. You know, old people like a small car, but they like it to be a bit posh.
That's right.
I'm now on the Fiat Italy website where I've discovered that the Fiat 500 in Italy is available in several trim levels. They are sport.
Are they? Sport.
Yes, sport.
Sport.
I imagine people in Italy wouldn't say it like that, but who knows.
How would they say
it? The
next
trim level is Sporta.
Sporta.
Sport. But there's no A on the end of it. It's Sport.
Sporta. Sport.
Cinquecento Sport.
Cinquecento Sport. Interesting.
Apologies. So any Italians listening, feel free to, I don't know, send us an audio file of how you'd say sport or just how you'd say fuck off, you English twat. The next trim level is Dolce Vita. Bit clichéd. Bloody hell, Fiat.
Yeah, that is a bit, isn't it?
That really is. Ugh. In Italy as well, you think, if they called it over here, you go, yeah, all right, okay, fine, yes. But anyway, the next trim level is called Hey Google.
Seriously, that's a trim level.
Mm. Also, me saying that on this podcast, will that have set off all the people with Google devices who are listening? Sorry.
Yes, it will have done.
I won't say it again. The next trim level is called Connect. I'm sensing a theme here.
Right.
And then I presume this is in order, like ascending order. So the top of the range is called the Cult.
The Cult?
Yeah, you Cult. What kind of Fiat 500 have you got? Cult. All right, just asking. Yeah, unless it's named after a band from the 80s.
That's what it is. Selling Sanctuary. Yeah. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah. The Fiat Italy website is impenetrable, mainly because I don't speak Italian, but I can't find prices. I just wondered how much
Well, when I reviewed the new 500e, which is out now, and it has that strange optional kind of one and a half doors or half a door on one side.
Oh, yeah, I'd forgotten about that. Which like I have half an RX-8.
Yes, like that.
Plus one, is that what it's called?
Yes, I think that's exactly what it's called, 3+1. When you turn the car off, bearing in mind this body shell's only available for the EV version, not the piston version yet. So they're running these two different bodies in parallel. When you turn the motor off, it makes this very creepy sort of ice cream van in a horror film little jingle. And I commented on it. Little did I realise, apparently, it's taken from a legendary Italian opera. It's like a very small snippet from a popular song or opera.
Is it a proper music file it plays, or is it like a sort of MIDI version of it?
Well, it sounded MIDI to me.
You love MIDI, though, don't you?
I do quite like MIDI. I think
you sent me that whole album of MIDI stuff.
I've got to say, do you know what? MIDI for me is always funny. I've never found MIDI to be not funny.
I think the more grandiose the song, the funnier the MIDI version is.
And there's always a guy of a certain age who's probably a little bit technology fearful, and he'll fumble around in his pocket and it's always in like a motor factor or a builder's merchant, and you'll hear the little polyphonic type ringtone.
You're kind of at first you go, what's that noise? Is there an alarm going off? Is there something? Yeah, what, is that me? Is it? And you look at the end, then you turn around. There's a fumbling man.
Yes.
In off-brand steel toe cap boots.
That's right. No name steel toes. Yeah.
And as he pulls it out of his pocket, you kind of go, is that Bat Out of Hell?
Yes.
I think it's MIDI.
It's MIDI Meatloaf, and it's. And it's,
and he always fumbles the answering of the phone, doesn't he? So it's a hello, hello, and it's still going while he's got the phone.
That's right.
His head.
That's right. Yeah, it never quite catches it, so he has to call them back. Sorry, Jeff. I'm in Juicens. Sorry. What's up?
Yeah. You what?
Yeah.
You what?
What, you want more self tappers?
Yeah, I'll do it later.
No problem. So that's your MIDI. But the thing about MIDI is they're so sad. They're trying to be happy, but they're very sad. And I don't know why. I just find it really funny. All MIDI's funny.
I'm trying to think, like, what is the most up tempo, upbeat song in history?
I've heard a spectacular version of "The Boys Are Back in Town" by Thin Lizzy, which I just. Every time I hear it now, it just makes me howl. I'll have to forward it to you. But yeah, it's good.
That's a good one. I was thinking of Reach by S Club 7.
Oh yeah.
I think the MIDIization would sort of knock the chirpy edges off that a treat.
Reach for the stars.
Ding 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 ding. It's quite much though I do enjoy synthesized music, whenever people talk about MIDI, in the back of my mind I'm thinking of the Bedford MIDI
for the van
from the 80s.
Yeah. Was that a crap van?
I think it was a crap van. It was an Isuzu, really, wasn't it? But then they
rebadged and rehashed.
I think they were made in Luton as well, so it was sort of local, you know, rehashed for local consumption, but it was a bit of a crap van. And you never see them ever.
No, you don't. So no, never.
Suggest they didn't have longevity on their side.
I think of MIDI as the 80s hi-fi system that you'd have in your bedroom. It's probably brushed aluminium. And it was... Because I'm getting... we had the MIDI, the Mini and the Micro. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And for
it was quite a big deal, wasn't it, at the time?
Yeah, it was a big deal. So like, the Micro was really fashionable, but ultimately, like, my cousin who had a part-time job in the hi-fi shop in town, and the only reason why he did it, he put all of his money that he earned back into the shop to get discount on some speakers. So he just regurgitated the cash. And I remember him telling me once, because I used to go in there because I was into audio and stuff, I used to go in there sometimes and call in when I was at college. And the one story I came away from was that one of the guys that he worked with, who was quite a large guy, pooed about once a month.
What?
Yeah, he had, I believe, he had a condition where he couldn't poo very often. And so it all kind of built up, and then he really had to go. And
what was the condition? The condition of not eating any fruit whatsoever.
I don't know whether he was a sort of roughage avoider.
Consuming over a dozen eggs and bananas a day.
I suspect it was something like that, where it was, maybe eaten the wrong foodstuffs. But I don't know, I can't judge.
Did he predict it, or did it just happen, but it was roughly a month apart? It's a bit like flying out.
I'll ask him. I can't remember the guy's name, but I know he always used to argue with people about that Nakamichi was the best for tapes.
They were, weren't they?
Yeah, but then you've got even higher end, name and all that kind of stuff. What it's like.
I know. Yeah, I remember, because there's a lot of it.
An audio paedophile, you'll know there's loads of different little cottage industries.
Wasn't there for a while? They said, it improves the audio quality if you put your CDs in the freezer.
Yes, cool them down.
And I sort of feel like there came a point at which audio paedoism just started to basically take the piss out of itself.
Of course it did. Do you know
what? This will all sound better if you keep punching yourself on the nose while you're listening. Just people were seeing how ridiculous they could make it. And cables, bloody hell.
Oh, yeah, oxygen-free cables, yeah. Yeah.
And yet, if you went to a certain hi-fi shop and you were going, I need gold.
Interconnects
for a start, and then I need the oxygen-free cables, and obviously I keep all my CDs in the freezer. And you're going through all this faff, and you're being sold this shit by a man who poos once a month. Really, really puts it in perspective.
And I think he drove like a terrible car as well. I think he drove it. I mean, I'll find out some more intel for next time, because I can't reveal the names. But my cousin last week was 45. So Richard, happy birthday! I didn't actually call you. Anyway, happy birthday.
Well, let's hope he listens.
She's still got some of his hi-fi. I know he has. He's still got his Harman Kardon speakers that he bought back then. Yeah.
Crikey.
Yeah. Well, they don't wear out, really, they do, actually.
Well, unless you massively overuse them. It's
but like saying that engines are bulletproof when they all have their moments, don't they?
It's funny how you sort of, I think we've all got, I mean, I don't have a proper hi-fi anymore. I just kind of admitted defeat and went,
Did you? You're one of them. See, I've still got mine, and I get the piss taken out of me for having separates.
But do you listen to stuff on it?
Not as much as I would like. I've still kept all my CDs. I'm not going to sell them, but or give them away, landfill them. But I'm going to get a turntable. When the house is done, I've never owned my own turntable, but I've got quite a few records, so I need to.
What did you do? Use the municipal turntable?
No, I used to have a turntable as much as I used to have a jukebox.
Oh, okay.
I told you about the jukebox, haven't I? It's a West German one, really nice one. Early 70s West German. I tell you what was awesome about it was, it is so loud in a normal-sized house because it's used to filling the space of a big room.
Oh,
so beyond
yes.
quarter volume, it was deafening. So where we live, where our back garden backs onto fields, well, one night I wheeled it up to the patio doors, opened the patio doors out, dug it. I thought it was Guy Fawkes Night from memory, and I played In the Air Tonight by Phil Collins at bit more than half volume, and honestly I think the entire village could hear it was so loud, and because it was on a record, it was some atmospheric crackles as well. It was brilliant.
Were you tempted to ring people you knew in other villages and ask if they could hear it?
I would have been, yeah, I would like to. In a bit like the, maybe it was my sort of jolly version of a World War II air siren noise, which my son's obsessed with, by the way. They're learning about World War at school, and he's really into his sirens. I'm trying to remember the name of the siren. It has a specific name. Keeps asking me whether that you can actually buy them.
I was a bit obsessed with them
yeah,
when I was a kid.
They're haunting. They're,
because there's something, it's haunting, exactly. There's something uniquely spooky about them.
There is something.
And once, when I was a lad, when I was about, I don't know, 7 or 8, yeah, we went to stay with some friends down in Suffolk.
Mm-hmm.
And that was back when Bentwaters, or maybe it wasn't, maybe it was Mildenhall. There was, you know, when there were more US air bases still active down there,
yeah,
we went, I think I've mentioned this before, and we went and watched the planes.
Yes.
Taking off and landing one evening, beautiful evening, we just went and stood by the fence. There was a place where you could spot them, and there were a few things flying around. And it was all very exciting, but also, you know, it was a kind of, it was still the Cold War then.
Yeah.
So there was this feeling of like, oh my God, you know, we're here. We're, it's kind of one of the frontline places in this fight against this scary nuclear enemy. And then suddenly there was an air raid siren, and I absolutely shat myself because I thought it was, that's it, the nukes are coming. Which
really?
Which was an ongoing fear when I was a kid. Yeah, don't you remember being afraid that nuclear missiles were going to rain down on you?
No, I didn't know anything about them. I think I was blissfully unaware. No, I was too busy doing Lego. I actually don't know. No, I really didn't. I didn't know about the Cold War until, don't know, probably about early 90s.
You're a little bit younger than me, though, aren't you? So it's kind of, I mean, probably it had all wrapped up by the time you kind of became aware.
I knew about the Berlin Wall.
Okay.
So that's probably my first memory of it, and obviously David Hasselhoff.
Yeah, personally.
Scorpions.
Felling the Berlin Wall. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
it's all you need to know, really.
It's all, yeah.
The Hoff and the Scorpions, and you've kind of got it covered.
Maybe that's what I should do
for
my...
bogged down in all that kind of carving up of Berlin shit. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah, no. When I was a kid, Cold War, like, a mate of mine had a book that was about, I don't know, military stuff, and it had this thing in it about, you know, where the Russians would strike first if they fired nuclear missiles at us. And it said major airports would obviously be a target as well as military ones. And I grew up about, like, 2 miles from Manchester Airport, so I lived in a state of great panic.
Oh my gosh.
And then I think I was discussing this with another mate, and he went, well, you know, if they struck the airport, we'd be still within, you know, the immediate blast radius, you wouldn't know a thing, you'd be evaporated. And I was like, oh, but are you sure? What if you're in a building? And then I read, someone gave my parents a load of old copies of the Reader's Digest, and I read something in there written by someone who survived the attack on Hiroshima.
What?
Because he was a prisoner of war, and he was inside a metal boat hull doing some welding or something, and there was a sense of something going on outside, and he went to climb out of the hull, and the metal ladder was hot, and he knew something was up.
Oh.
And when he was finally able to climb out of the hull, the crane on the dockside, big metal crane, was like
folded
over an angle. Yeah, and there was just carnage everywhere, and the city that had been there was essentially gone. And he'd just been down in the hull getting on with his enforced work. And,
oh, my God.
And then he described some of the things he saw in the immediate aftermath, and some of them, I won't even say them now, they're still really gruesome, and it haunted me for years.
Bloody hell. I did not know this.
Well, sorry, I really kind of...
We were supposed to... There was something else we were supposed to talk about, I'm sure.
Well, just to wrap things up from about, I don't know, 2 hours ago, whenever we mentioned the Fiat 500 in Italy, I know everyone's dying to know how much it costs out there.
Yeah.
The answer is normally 15,800 euros, and the basic Lancia Epsilon is 15,300. However, there's an online price. If you buy your 500 base model online, 14,004 euros. What a strange price.
14,004.
Why wouldn't you just find a way to round it down? That's really odd.
That is a bit.
So, anyway, there you go. So, normally, at list price, the Epsilon is a tiny bit cheaper than the... Oh, okay, so now, I was wrong as well.
You absolute price-obsessed loser. What, you and your Epsilons and your 500s?
The Cult, new Cult, is the cheapest 500.
Hmm.
That's the 14,004 euros.
It's because then the stereo's jammed on at a certain volume. obviously, it only plays songs by the Cult, but it will not play their hit. It won't play. It plays all the lesser-known Cult songs that you could quickly get bored of. You go, it doesn't matter. I've saved.
You take it to the dealer and go, it's just doing album tracks. Yeah, sorry, that does that. Nothing we can do. Nothing.
It
we
was
can
your
do.
Choice. You chose to spend 600 euros less, and this is what you get.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what. This is very much a sort of lost leader, the Cult, because It looks like it's got alloys on it, which is surprising. Anyway,
alloys.
The next model up is the Connect, and that's €15,348. So it's actually quite, it's like more than a grand to upgrade, but it's it does look like it has two-tone paint. I don't understand what's going on here. There's the, anyway, the so the Sport, is the top of the range model.
Course.
Could have guessed that, really, because I usually are.
Course of fucking
I suppose course. Not with a Jeep Cherokee.
No. Wasn't that the entry level, the Sport?
Yeah, the Sport was the entry level.
And the Limited was the better one, wasn't it?
Yes, and then the Keith Harrison Orvis came in and became the sort of top of the range.
That's right, and, yeah, yeah. Didn't they do a North Face one or something? Or was that the Ford? Oh, I'm thinking of the Ford.
Yeah, that was the Explorer.
Explorer, that's right, because we did get that in the UK, didn't we?
Briefly. Now, that's funny, because I remember borrowing one of those, a press car, and it smelt like a second-hand car inside. It was really odd. It had a smell to it that was sort of like half-hearted new car smell.
But
it had overtones of not cigarette smoke, not sweat, just used car. And I was like, is this, and it just set a tone. It was a dog shit car anyway, but and they always sit a bit too low at the back, don't they? Like the leaf springs are going.
Yeah, that's true. I've been thinking about Sade again.
I thought we had a no Sade.
Yeah,
policy.
Actually, yeah, we can't. Let's not mention it. No, because
I was keeping a lid on a couple of Sade things that.
Oh gosh. Do you think I went to the gym the other day for the first time in a very, very long time, and apart from noticing different company cars in the car park, there was a leaflet, like a flyer next to where you hang your coats and stuff up, and it just has the name of the business is just, I just can't believe it's real, because it just seems like such a knee-jerk reaction enterprise.
And, like COVID fencing or something.
It definitely ends with UK, and you know that most dodgy businesses in Britain end with UK, I think. Don't you think? Because it rings alarm bells for me that the original name for the business didn't have UK on it, and they went bust, but they've reopened under the name of their niece or nephew or gran, and just added UK, so therefore totally different business. I might be wrong, and I don't want to offend honest business owners, but that's certainly the impression I get as a consumer. So if it was like Cheap Brake Discs UK versus cheapbrakediscs.com, I would go, the UK one's dodge.
It happened to the Charlatans, the excellent band.
The Charlatans?
They call themselves the Charlatans. Well, they discovered there used to be a band in the US called the Charlatans. So
did they?
When they appeared in the US and released records there, they had to call themselves the Charlatans UK.
The name of this business is Very Safe UK Limited.
Hang on. Very Safe.
Very Safe UK Limited. Very Safe is one word with capital S and capital V. UK
Just
Limited.
Because otherwise you might think that the business was called Verisaf or something.
Oh, honestly, and it says, creating safe spaces, antimicrobial coating recommended for up to 90-day protection. There's a picture of some people in white, like decorating suits with masks on, spraying liberally chairs and tables.
Mm-hmm.
And it says get a free quote, go to verysafeuk.com. And I just don't believe it. The other thing is Very Safe UK Limited is in a sort of 8-bit coat of arms as the logo. I know we're possibly mocking a really honest business. I just can't believe
it. So wait, they spray stuff.
They spray stuff. Our antimicrobial coating's been tested and found to be effective against a wide range of bacteria and enveloped viruses such as COVID-19, creating an inhospitable surface for these dangerous microorganisms whilst keeping your premises a safe place to go for everyone.
Right. Can I...
And there's a really long list of things that it's ideal in. This is good on the other side. Ideal for use in the schools, showrooms, offices, colleges, universities, banks, hotels, guest rooms, pubs, bars, clubs, medical practices,
brothels,
beauty treatments, spas, hairdressers, therapy clinics, care
illegal
homes.
Gambling dens.
Yes, exactly.
Exactly. Cocaine processing laboratories.
Exactly. Trains, buses, boats, sports,
hovercraft,
sports.
Aeroplanes, hot air balloons.
Tractors. Yeah, I mean, it's just like just
auto gyros.
Just name Blimps. A thing. Just name it. Just name a thing now. Something. Motorcycle seats. Yes, easy. Done. Lawnmower handles.
Meat butcher.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. Purveyor of safe cat toys. Yes, that's absolutely fine.
Sue Pollard.
I just don't understand it.
Wow.
I don't.
Woodland. Fields.
Gates.
Kettle drums. Just listing shit now.
Hang on, are the kettle drums the ones I like? The oil drums, the Jamaican drums?
No, those are steel drums. Kettle drums are the big bastards that are at the back of the orchestra.
Because they're a bit aspo, aren't they?
If you could pick one thing to do in an orchestra, I'd be that percussion person at the back, because you've got loads of shit to play with, but you don't have to take part all the time.
What about the gong?
Well, you get the gong as well. That's part of your job.
Oh, is it?
You've got kettle drums, you've got gong, you've got some, you know, bells and shit. And you're just extra percussion. I always think you stand at the back so you can sort of keep your head down and muck around a bit. But every so often you get to go...
I love that. But you've got to have immaculate timing. You can't just keep your head down and muck around a bit and then totally
There has to be a limit to your mucking around, because when you're required, you really are required. It's sort of like being a fireman. But there's a lot of waiting around, also like being a fireman.
Well, do you think firemen keep their head down and muck around a bit until there's a fire? Is that what they do?
I'd imagine so, yeah. And then at night they work the doors of provincial nightclubs. That's how it works.
Oh, yeah.
Or have a sort of contract gardening business or something like that.
Well, my father-in-law's a retired fireman. He used to deal in pallets on the side, pre-owned pallets.
Did he?
Yeah, and he had a couple of Ford Capris, not to deal in, but they were his car.
It's not a pallet-friendly car, the Capri.
No, it's not a pallet-friendly car.
Was he the one who lobbied them after the Mark I? Did he lobby them to put a hatchback in? And they did, and then he was like, oh, brilliant. Oh, shit, still can't get a pallet in.
No,
you
still
bastards.
Can't get... No, exactly.
Yeah, I've sorely misunderestimated the... size of a palais.
Is it like
upmarket palais?
Is it Ali Palais?
Hello, Regency Palais. Do you do pallets? We might do.
Who's asking? What is it pertaining?
To what is it pertaining? Yes, I think we could get a brace of palais over to you this afternoon. We'll pop them in the back of the Capri.
Very, very palatial environment here. It's... a house made off of pallets.
Palais. Right, look.
Alice, hi, I'm Alistair Pallet, but you can call me Ali Pally.
We should probably start easing this one down through the gears. So,
Are you going to do what, like police? You always driving it with one gear slightly less than you should be in case you need to respond quickly? Or are you...
They're the anti-minicabbers, aren't they?
They are the anti-minicabbers, yeah.
Yeah. Always, you're keeping it... It's above 3,000 here, is that... Do you need to... I mean...
You never know.
Someone else's petrol, eh, officer? yes, anyway, what do I do? After three...
You're like a very, you've got like an invisible ventriloquist doll.
Always
making all.
Did you not know
all
that?
all these strange sound effects, and there's nobody else there.
58 shows in, and I can't believe you've only just realised I do all of this with a ventriloquist doll.
I'd love to be a ventriloquist.
Would you?
Yeah, I'd love to be able to do that.
Oh, we should. Well, we'll save it for next time. We were talking about magicians' cars, weren't we, on the WhatsApp? We'll talk.
Of course, we were. Just slip that one in there.
Anyway, in the meantime, three things to tell you. And they are: one, Johnny has a solo YouTube channel called The Late Break Show, which has got many good things on it, including some Corsairs. Two, I've got various books out. One of them is called A Medium-Sized Book of Boring Car Trivia, with a foreword by TV's James May, exclusively on Amazon as a paperback or an e-book. And three, I can't find my notes with the things I write down that are trivia. Oh, yeah, here we go. Billy Piper's middle name is Paul.
What?
Yeah,
hang on,
and that's her dad's name as well.
Billy Paul was a singer. or an actor. Is that right?
Well, also, Billy Piper's original first name wasn't Billy. She was born, her parents called her Leanne, and then before her first birthday, they had a change of heart and changed her name to Billy.
She was called Leanne?
Yeah, but only for about the first year of her life. But her middle name remains Paul.
Bloody hell, man, that's interesting. Thanks for that, Rich.
I don't know.
The ultimate interior of the AMC Pacer is called the Navajo, and it features very interesting traditional American Indian style stitching. It's very rare now.
Really?
Yeah, and I used to have one, and like a complete flaccid ball bag, I sold the car.
like a badly shaved egg bag.
I sold it, and I sold it too cheaply, and I've been trying to buy it back ever since. But unfortunately, the owner wants to keep it. But Navajo, look it up. The Navajo woven interior of the AMC Pacer is a thing to behold.
For our patrons, I will put a link to it in the show notes that go up on the Patreon every week. Just one, or in fact, the only benefit of being a patron, except that you help us to keep this show going.
you promoted it so well then.
I know, I've missed my calling as a salesman, haven't I?
Well, the only...
Wow, he's the P.T. Barnum of trying to vlog shit stuff on podcasts. Likewise, things I should mention is also if you want to drop us an email, smithandsniff@gmail.com. We always enjoy hearing from you, and I promise we read all of your emails, even if we frequently forget to reply to them. But we do sometimes read them out, and I've had some crackers in. Maybe we'll read some more out.
And to that end, thank you ever so much if you are an existing Patreon to this podcast.
Yes.
Because your subscription and your contribution really helps. It means that our wives don't nag us, essentially.
It's the main.
Yeah.
Main
and benefit. One day it could lead to something quite substantial, like a Navajo upholstered AMC Pacer, perhaps.
I can't hear the word substantial now without being haunted by that hi-fi man who only poos once a week. It's going to trouble me all week.
Go, go.
All right, well, on that edifying note, thank you ever so much for listening. We'll see you for hopefully a slightly less revolting episode at the same time next week. Until then, goodbye.
Bye.